The busy streets and sidewalks, they suddenly were still as a man came through the entrance of the city. There he taught of love and kindness. He brought a better way with love and loving hearts. You could hear these people say, they said, Jesus, Jesus, he is the Son of God. Jesus, Jesus, precious Son of God. Sweetest Rose of Sharon came to set us free. And they said, Jesus, Jesus, he's everything to me. Yes, he's all the world to me. Their footprints in the sand along Galilee, where thousands came to hear him and to see him. There he touched and healed a blind man, just a little piece of clay. With trembling lips you could hear these people say, they said, Jesus, Jesus, he is the Son of God. Jesus, Jesus, precious Son of God. Sweetest Rose of Sharon came to set us free. And they said, Jesus, Jesus, he's everything to me. Yes, he's all the world to me. Then the air grew cold, and the sky it turned black, as they nailed him to a tree. There he died for every land and every nation. But the blood that he shed and the life that he gave is still changing lives today. With trembling lips you can hear these people say, we say, Jesus, Jesus, he is the Son of God. Jesus, Jesus, precious Son of God. Sweetest Rose of Sharon, he came to set us free. And we say, Jesus, Jesus, he's everything to me. Yes, he's all the world to me.
Good evening, I'm Pastor Rice, Good Samaritan Baptist Church, here for a Bible study. Appreciate again that we can use this venue to get some Bible facts and Bible information out to our folks, and especially to our little church, and praise the Lord for this Palm Sunday. And we want to look at some events around Palm Sunday that a lot of people have never seen before. And so please pay attention to this, a little Sunday Bible study. And also, if you can, pass it on, share it with anybody, and help get this information out there. There's a lot of Baptist churches who miss entirely this whole idea of Palm Sunday. A lot of them don't even break. A lot of them are fussing over calling Easter Easter when it's Resurrection Day. And so we'll look at some of those things here in this Bible study this morning and the importance of our calendar in worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Appreciate again that we can look at these things. And so let's go ahead and have a word of prayer together. And then we'll go ahead and share some things written out of the Bible. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for folks that will gather with a hunger for your word and a hunger to see your son exalted and lifted up and praised. And Father, we want to do that just now. And so we'd ask again that you'd be praised, exalted. Hear our prayers, touch each one listening, and cause again, Father, that we could hear from heaven in these next few minutes. And Father, that you'd just bless in a very special way. We love you. And thank you for what you did to send your only begotten son. We thank you for this holy week we're walking through and begin this day. And pray again, Father, that you just bless us. We would study the events around your Passover sacrifice. Father, we'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. All right. As we look at the events around the coming of our Lord and Savior, let's go ahead and start again looking at this triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the 10th of the Hebrew month, Abib. And that's going to be important to remember and watch for here in this study. So let's go ahead and look at John, Gospel of John and chapter 12. Gospel of John and chapter 12. It starts off the first verse. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There are a series of events that we want to study here in this chapter, but we're looking at the triumphal entry, which begins there in verse 12. It says this: on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh sitting on an ass's colt." Palm Sunday is on Sunday. This account of his coming in, triumphal entry into Jerusalem, is also given in Matthew 21, Mark 11, and Luke 19, is given there on the screen. And so you'll notice again that this is a well-heralded event in the Gospels. And again, it is important that we understand that Jesus coming into Jerusalem portrays the presentation of the Passover lamb and his separation from the rest of the flock. Let's go ahead and look again at that first verse. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. 6 days before the Passover, this is. The Passover is on the 14th day of the month always, and it's the month called Abib, Hebrew month called Abib. And so 6 days before the month, or the 14th, would of course be the 8th. And so we're going to follow the calendar here, importantly, as we walk through these events. And again, verse 3 goes on. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which what should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And again, as we look there, notice again that Jesus rebukes him and says in verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. And so this, again, was likely the Mary that did this earlier, if you remember over in the Gospel of Luke. The next one in chapter 8 is named Mary Magdalene. So this Mary could very well have been, and I believe it certainly was, the Mary that offered the feast of the Pharisee, if I remember right, Mary came in and anointed his feet with oil. And so Mary was tremendously saved and moved, and she's used there in that example. But here, notice again that she does this, probably a repeat performance of what she did in Luke chapter 6. Very interesting study in itself. And so here we have the events unfolding in John chapter 12. And notice again, even as I read there, that much people of the Jews, therefore, this is in verse 9, much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, who had raised from the dead. And then notice verses 10 and 11, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because of that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Listen, when you start taking a person's power away, when you start draining their swamp, as it were, as you start, again, weeding out these authorities, boy, it is astounding sometimes to us who are mere humans what a person does to keep their power. And here, they were willing not only to kill Jesus, but to kill Lazarus at this thing. The chief priests gathered in a holy convocation, put that in quotes, and that is held on each Sabbath day. So here they are on the Sabbath day gathering to find a way to get rid of Jesus, and said, let's go ahead and get rid of Lazarus as well. This was Saturday then, the 9th of Abib on our calendar that we're following. Notice the Bible says in verse 12, on the next day, and that's what we just read there, for the gathering for Palm Sunday. And so for the triumphal entry. And again, we're going to look at this, at the importance of this, at fulfilling God's calendar and doing everything exactly as he had laid out for the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12. He laid out again all the timing and the calendar that was to be followed. It's important in God's, and I call this jot and tittle, fulfillment of prophecy. In other words, God said that, Jesus said, every jot and tittle, that's the very little parts of the Hebrew letters where the word of God is written in, every jot and tittle was going to be fulfilled in the law. And so I call that jot and tittle fulfillment. We believe in verbal plenary inspiration of the word of God, that every word is important. Consequently, we get kind of upset when modernist ecumenicals throw words out of the Bible for their copyright purposes. So it's important in God's jot and tittle fulfillment of prophecy that the Passover lamb is separated from the rest of the flock on the 10th of Abib, as commanded in Exodus chapter 12. Let's look over at that section in Exodus chapter 12. And as we reverence the word of God and look at the word of God, I want to emphasize one more time that God's going to fulfill things exactly as he wrote them down. And God does not, God says what he means and means what he says when it comes to the words of God. And here he paints a picture for the Passover lamb. In our temple study, we are looking at the facts that God created things in order to portray certain truths. Here, he paints a picture of a Passover lamb knowing full well that his only begotten son is going to be the Passover lamb. Look with me at verses 2 and 3. It says, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Speak unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Look at verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And verse 6, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. This is a simple study that goes on the premise that what God dictated here for his Passover lamb, he is going to fulfill in the Passover lamb, his only begotten son. And so with that premise, let's go ahead and look at a calendar here and understand, as we said, we were on the 8th day of the week here, 6 days before Passover. And notice again, that's recorded right out of John chapter 12. And so he arrives at Bethany and he has a meal with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Notice that that cannot be on the Sabbath day because they did not serve meals on the Sabbath day because of Jewish law. So on the 9th day was the Sabbath day. The chief priests consulted to kill Jesus and Lazarus, according to John 12:10. And then the triumphal entry on the next day here, again being the 10th of the month of Abib, the triumphal entry, the Passover lamb separated from the rest of the flock. And so if we get that calendar in our head, then we'll notice that Jesus was separated here on the 10th day of Abib and crucified on the 14th day of the month. For a Christian, there is no more precious and holy time of the year than the week surrounding the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's calendar around the sacrifice of his only begotten son is extremely important. Christ was offered as our Passover lamb and died on the cross of Calvary on Jewish Passover, the 14th day of the Hebrew month, Abib, according to Exodus chapter 12, according to Leviticus chapter 23. The harmony of the life of Christ. This is an excerpt edited from the Cyclopedic Concordance of my mother's Oxford Press, 1945 Scofield Reference Bible. It is a mainstay of good biblical Easter study. I have not found that Cyclopedic Concordance in too many Bibles. I've got all Scofield Reference Bibles and bought several of them from different sources. Here's an old one from the Oxford Press from 1945 that did have that. And so I just went ahead, and it is not copyright. If it is, was copyright, the copyright's expired. And so from 1945. And so here, again, I just copied that, typed in this whole sequence of events. And so look at a few of them right here around his week of Passion. The Cyclopedic Concordance actually lists every event that Jesus did in the Bible. And I'd encourage you again to be a student of that. I have it available online there somewhere where I typed it all in for other studies. And so here we are on Thursday, the 7th of the month of Abib. Notice again, he gave a discourse on divorce. He's making his way towards Jerusalem, going past Jericho. He gave the parable of the vineyard, the laborers. He foretold his death and his burial and his resurrection to the disciples, and it just kind of went right over their head. James and John had a little debate about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Their mom got involved there. There was a healing of the two blind men on the Jericho road, and then Zacchaeus was a wee little man, A wee little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree to see what he could see. And the Lord, for the Lord would pass that way. And the Lord said to Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today. So we know, again, on Thursday night, he spent the night in Zacchaeus' house just outside of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Then we have on Friday, the 8th of Abib. Notice again, the parable of the pounds was given probably early in the morning as he was leaving the Jericho area. And then Jesus arrives at Bethany, it says. And we have the anointing of Mary that we read there. And then again, as the next day unfolds, the Sabbath day, the 9th of Abib, there's a plot to kill Jesus and there's a plot to kill Lazarus. So notice in this presentation again, we have Friday, the anointing of Mary and the plot to kill. And then on Sunday, we have the triumphal entry. Another thing that's not recognized by all is the fact that he then immediately goes into the temple on that Lord's Day and he cleans out the temple. We find again, he does that on here it says Monday the 11th, but it was actually there on the Sunday evening when he cleaned the temple and then went back to Bethany where he was staying. The next morning, he's on his way into Jerusalem. They cross a fig tree, you remember. And they, again, he curses the fig tree because it had no figs for him. And then, once again, a second cleansing of the temple when he gets into town. It's no surprise that they were ready to make a market on a Passover. And so they filled right back into the temple to sell their wares. And notice again that there's two separate cleansings of the temple listed here. And there's the Bible references where they show up. Then the fig tree on Tuesday, they're coming back into town. It's important that we understand all these things because there are three very busy days in the life of Christ right here between the time he was separated from the rest of the flock and he was crucified. And so the lamb was separated from the rest of the flock. They kept it separate and watched it to make sure that it was without spot and mar. And then again, they would kill it on the 14th day of the month. Jesus was separated from the rest of the flock, as it were, and he was scrutinized for these 3 days. Bible says he was daily in the temple teaching. They questioned his authority. He was there with authority. And so he was examined as the Passover lamb there for these 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And so notice again, the fig tree was withered on the Tuesday. And so we can see a delineation, separation of each of these days and what happened on each one of them. For Christ's authority was questioned there on Tuesday. He gave the parable of the two sons, a parable of the wicked husband, the parable of the marriage of kings, the question of tribute. The Sadducees talked about the resurrection and he refuted them. The lawyers gave and asked what the great commandment was and he refuted them. And so that was one busy Tuesday as it unfolds all the events that are happening in the teachings of Christ. He asked the disciples, what think ye of Christ? He gave the woe to the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, he calls them, given in 3 accounts of the Gospels. Then there was a lamentation over Jerusalem as he's about to leave the city of Jerusalem. There's a story of the widow's mite. The Greeks come and seek to see Jesus, and he says it's not time yet. But when I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, he said. There's a prophecy of the end of the world, the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, the last judgments on the Mount of Olives. This is all given again as he's departing Jerusalem. There he is on the Mount of Olives. The disciples want to know, what are the signs of thy coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Then again, we have the plotting of the rulers with Judas in order to have him betrayed. And then very interesting here that Most Bible scholars that have a Catholic background or believe Roman Catholicism, they add a day and say, okay, on the next day, Wednesday, he just took a vacation and Jesus did nothing on that day. Don't you believe it? They only do that so that their Good Friday will remain good. And again, it does not line up at all with the scriptures, nor with what's going on here in these portions of scripture. So the next day, then Wednesday, would have been the preparation for the Passover, the arrival in the upper room, strife for prominence once again, and then Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, the Paschal Supper or Passover Supper. The betrayer is declared at that supper, and the Lord's Supper is instituted at that supper. Then we have Peter's fall is foretold, the farewell discourse that he gives there to his disciples. And the prayers of Jesus are also given there, and that's what I call the Lord's prayers, given in John chapter 17. And Jesus and Peter's confidence in going into the last day, he deals with Peter's confidence that I'll never forsake you. And tells again that before the cock crows thrice, I'll deny me. So I think it's before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me thrice, if I remember right. So then we have the Garden of Gethsemane scene where he goes and prays, if this cup can pass from me. Again, there immediately on that Wednesday, we have the betrayal, then the arrest at midnight. And again, Jesus is led from there on what's going to be Thursday then. Jesus is led from there to appear but to Annas and Caiaphas. And Jesus was then before the high priest. And then Jesus was taken before the Sanhedrin. So, and then we have the events of the crucifixion, which I'd encourage you to be a student of as well. But here, notice again in our calendar, we have the events of this triumphal entry on the 10th of Abib. That's on a Sunday, the triumphal entry. And again, understand that if the 10th of Abib is on a Sunday, then the 14th of Abib is on a Thursday. There's no denying it. No getting around it. So we find Jesus traveling to Jerusalem, spends a night with Zacchaeus. 6 days before the Passover, he has a meal with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Martha anoints him with the ointment for his burial. The ninth is the Sabbath day, and the 10th was the triumphal entry. We look at the fig tree being cursed. The next day, the fig tree is withered away. And those, again, delineate days in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the Wednesday, they have the preparation for the Passover, and they observe the Passover meal a day early, as it was for Galilean Jews, just because they could not have everybody doing it on Passover. Galilean Jews, even then in Jerusalem, had their meal a day early, as did Christ with his disciples, the Last Supper. And then on the 14th, we have the trial. Interesting. Look now, on the 15th was a high Sabbath day. Doesn't matter what day of the week it fell on. It was a high Sabbath day. And John mentions that it was not just a Sabbath day. It was the high Sabbath day. So that's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it was a Sabbath day. So Friday was a Sabbath day. And Saturday then was a Sabbath day. And then notice again, the very first time that the women could get to the tomb to anoint the body was on a Sunday, very early in the morning. And you know, I trust the rest of that story. And so as we again look at the events here around this precious week, boy, I'd have you be a student of your Bible, be a student with your Bible open and your calendar in your head or open before you. Here's again a good copy of a calendar that I've made up that helps me again keep this week in perspective and not go charging off on some Holy Roman Catholic, which was not holy nor Catholic, misteachings about that. Let me go ahead and say that the Roman Catholic Church is not Christian. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. So go ahead and understand here, the Roman Catholic doctrine passed on through Protestants as well, supposes that Jesus took a day off on Wednesday so that their Good Friday scenario would line up. There's also many good Baptists that I fellowship who insist that Jesus have 24 hours in the tomb, 24-hour days in the tomb. And again, to do that, they suppose that the crucifixion was Wednesday. They insist on three full 24-hour days in the tomb, which is not really necessary, but he was 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in the tomb. He died on the ninth hour and again entered the heart of the earth in the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on Thursday, I believe, very clearly from scripture in our calendar here. So some suppose, again, that it was on a Wednesday so that they can get that three full 24-hour periods, but they insist on that outside of the Bible. But when they cannot account, and then they cannot account for how, again, between Palm Sunday and crucifixion of Christ, he got in 3 days of teaching that he clearly did and is delineated in scriptures. So these things are given not to be a controversy, but again, so that we could understand the events around God, his holy word, his predictions of a Passover lamb, and again, the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Which religion is right is a good question to ask here. And the answer that I give emphatically, hands down, categorically, the answer is none. There is no religion today that has the answers. All religions ask you to do something to earn favor. But God's Bible, it is all done. And it is a free gift. Our study in 1 Peter about suffering and the end times that are coming upon us here quickly covers this verse. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit, made alive, brought back to life. This study reveals the lies of the Roman Catholic religion and its Protestant children. One need not continue to swallow such deceit. So I encourage you to consider this. If your religion has a priest dressed in a black gown with his collar on backwards, trying to intercede for you and do something that's not in the Bible, well, I'd be careful again and understand that the Bible is clear. There's no religion involved in getting to Christ. And I'm glad because there's not too many things I do religiously here except read my Bible. If you have received that free gift of salvation, study and observe during this precious week of God's past, Christ's passion, even or everything that was done to purchase your soul's redemption, and make next Sunday a genuine celebration of Christ's resurrection. Let me say that it is Easter Sunday as well. I didn't put this in the slide, but Hebrews have a lunar calendar. And again, so every 7 years or so, they add a whole month in to keep their calendar lined up with the solar calendar, the Julian calendar that we use. And so, again, understand that Easter was set aside. I understand it used to be a pagan day when for the equal day and night period in the springtime for the god sun worshipers. That's where it generated itself in the Roman Empire. But again, now it is set aside, so it's always the Sunday after the Hebrew Passover. And so again, the Hebrew Passover again is this week, and the Sunday after the Hebrew Passover is going to be this coming up Sunday. So that's what Easter is. It's always the Sunday after the Hebrew Passover. If you're offended by having it called Easter, then call it Resurrection Day, however you get it, as long as you understand it's the Sunday after Passover, and we got them setting up a calendar so that we could do that automatically and not miss it. Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you have that everlasting life, rejoice in how it was purchased. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you don't know what that word saved means, you need to follow along in the scripture verses I've given previous on the Romans road and get through your Bible and understand you must receive formally the free gift. He that believeth is not on him is not condemned, but that he believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I trust you have the free gift of salvation. And if you do, you need to be a student of God's word. Call on him. And again, appreciate we could present this information to you on this Lord's Day being Palm Sunday. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the jot and tittle fulfillment of every word. Pray again that you'd help us to be careful not to take again the copyright Bible producers' words, but your words. And Father, we'll praise you again and thank you for your blessing, even on this study, as we understand what you did to give your only begotten Son as our Passover lamb. We love you. Thank you for the sacrifice. In the name of Christ, amen. Appreciate again that we could look at these slides, and as we go through them again, this is something that I've been teaching for years, but was never taught to me again in the Baptist churches I went to. They're all dabbling around a little bit with a Good Friday very often, without recognizing the apostasy that's in the Catholic Church has gotten all over. There's so many things that are around this season that are not in the Bible whatsoever. There's no ashes on your forehead in the Bible. There's no 40 days of Lent in the Bible. They made all these things up. There's no fish on Friday in the Bible. There's no confessionals in the Bible. The man-made religions are a very dangerous thing. They're hooked on a little piece of truth, but then they take you off in a different direction. Be mindful of that. And this Easter, wake up to those truths, and the Lord bless you in that effort.